Tigers win. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. Dustin Fioco on the updates. Got a coach's poll out. College football right around the corner. Get to that at 6:35. John, good morning.
Less than 3 weeks.
I know, man.
College football week zero. Here we go. I know the Associated Press poll. We'll have a chance to compare and contrast. I think it comes out the 11th. But yeah, it feels like it's right around the corner, and we are inching so close to another Lions preseason game. And I know there's a lot of people that are not that excited about the preseason games. I get it. It is football. It's football. And we'll get a chance to see Hendon Hooker start. And then we'll determine
if we're calling Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how it sounds.
And then we can have the argument of Teddy Bridgewater or.
Or Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz. Or Hendon Hooker, Kyle Allen. Those are going to be the options pretty much.
What the preseason is backup. A lot of backup quarterback talk because you're not playing anybody of substance in these games.
The only thing that we don't have to argue this year is kicker.
That's
nice. Remember the word soup that we had last year about Jake Bates, and I kept saying, well, he's not proven, and you kept saying, oh, well, he's doing this in the preseason.
Him.
Yeah, and I said, well, I like him, but I'm not ready to say that he's our guy yet.
Yeah, you and your yet.
Yes.
Another version of let it play out. Finnegan last night for the Tigers shuts the door. Some good swing and miss. Mm. Legit bullpen arm. That's the guy we did.
How about that acquisition?
Both liked that move. Finnegan and friends, he was the emphasis. And he was again last night for the Tigers. Now, they had to come back. That was kind of a choppy game against the Twins.
Hey, they took care of business.
And
that's all it is.
And some big swings.
Yeah.
Including one from Cary Carpenter.
Yeah.
Who I don't think got discussed enough as someone who was missing during that stretch where they lost 12 or 13.
Well, we did hear a little bit from some people who said, well, wait till Cary Carpenter comes back. And I think we both said, well, I don't think he's the savior. I do think just simply having his bat in the lineup and AJ, and we talk about him, the mix and the match and creating matchups and things that are advantageous to certain guys. I think he is a key for AJ of where he places Cary Carpenter, where he places certain guys around Cary Carpenter.
I'd like to see him play every day, right?
Would you?
I know the argument is like platooning and getting the best matchups. But
yes.
But if that's the case, then they might be platooning the wrong outfielder, John.
I agree with that.
Riley Green, 3 strikeouts yesterday. He is just shy of the all-time strikeout pace.
I know.
He's on pace for 219. It's 223. He had one hard hit ball, but he had another 3 strikeouts.
Yeah, 150 at this point.
And by the way, against lefties, Carp's better. They're both lefty bats. They both struggle with lefties. Statistically, Carp's better. Are they platooning the wrong outfielder, John?
Well, and here's the thing about Carp. They might be, but the difference is the total player.
Yes.
Because you're not going to get those two catches that we saw a couple nights ago against the Phillies.
That Sunday Riley Green made. Lefty.
Yeah. You're not going to get those defensive plays from Cary Carpenter.
I just started doing more digging into Riley because of the text we got yesterday. Like I typically am not someone who's overreacted to the strikeouts from Riley because he's outproduced it. In the face of it, he's still incredibly productive. But we had people really hammering him yesterday because he went 0-for-13 over the weekend. So we pulled up the numbers, and I think there's a bit of a Riley Green conversation to have here. I was stunned at some of these numbers. Two outs, runners in scoring position, he's hitting .204. Late and close games, .135. When they're trailing, he's hitting .198. When he's playing with a lead, he hits .328. In other words, a lot of his damage is coming when the Tigers have
when he's comfortable at the plate.
When the team, I know you always could use more insurance runs, but when the team needs him less, he produces more.
Yeah.
I was just stunned the more I looked into it. And then against lefties this year, his OPS is under 600, where Carp's at least in the 600s. And I'm wondering, have I glossed over some real issues with Riley Green here? Have we glossed over some real issues with Riley Green here?
Well, we're going to get a chance to talk to AJ tomorrow, and I think that's a great question to bring up in regards to just him planning his lineup and how, because we know this is a very analytical team. AJ uses it to create matchups both from the mound and at the plate. And I know with Finnegan and friends and Melton now in the bullpen and, you know, the future of Morton probably being a postseason bullpen guy, like he's trying to figure out what he has in those arms and where they fit best and what matchups fit best. There's no more figuring out what Kerry Carpenter can and can't do. Same thing with Riley Green. You are far enough into this season to know exactly what these guys are and who they're good against. And I'd be very surprised if they are at least not having that conversation because of the analytics of what Carp does at the plate against lefties and what Riley Green does at the plate against lefties.
So the numbers, again, right in front of me. Riley Green versus Kerry Carpenter. Carp, in limited sample, only 39 at-bats against left-handed pitching, is hitting .230, not great, with a .680 OPS, which is, you know, below average. Yeah. But when you put it next to Riley Green, who, again, much bigger sample, 132 at-bats against left-handed pitching, he's hitting .212, which is lower, and he's got an OPS of .586, lower. Now, I'm going to make a prediction. If we ask it that way to AJ, he's going to highlight the defense.
Right, which is what I did.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's kind of a master of the obvious, right? It's you see those plays in the outfield, but it's also,
But how about the days where Riley DHs? Like, he should never DH against a lefty, right?
But if you play Carp more, does he get hurt more?
I get it.
Because he has that track record. Last year, what did he miss? 80 games?
He's already missed time this season.
So it's that, I'm sure that will be a part of the discussion as well. I don't want to answer for AJ, but
give him a chance tomorrow. All things Tiger with the Tigers with the manager. Tomorrow, by the way, Brad Holmes as well, because we will be out at Lions training camp yet again. So
not Corwin from Columbus?
No.
Brad from Allen Park.
Brad from Allen Park live in front of us. No screaming kid in the background.
Yes. No, I know. I think Teddy might be there, so we might have a screaming kid in the background.
Well, that's good. It'll make us feel at home. Yes. By the way, speaking of...
Can somebody shut that kid up?
Speaking of Finnegan, who pitched again and pitched well, Heather, you were telling us...
Oh my gosh. All day, I mean, all week, really. I mean, for a while, I've been singing... Do you know that old school nursery rhyme that... I don't know, poor old Michael Finnegan. There was an old man named Michael Finnegan. He had whiskers on his chin again. They fell out and then grew in again.
Yes.
Poor old Michael Finnegan beginning. I've been singing that to my kids all week. And I'm like, why do I keep singing this song?
Yeah, I don't think Cookies probably knows that one. I do.
Do you know it?
And yes, okay. And I want to instantly say, and for everyone that knows that one that is driving right now, when you are this afternoon and you think, why do I have this song in my head? You can thank Heather Park at 6:10 in the morning.
I guess you can thank me, but it's because of
I put it on the
Finnegan and Friends.
That one did not make the Cocoa Melon album.
No,
it's old.
It is old. Yes, it's an old nursery rhyme that it's. I mean, but the old nursery rhymes are the ones that we had as kids.
Yeah.
You remember, and then you pass it on to your. It doesn't matter how old it is, and now it's going to be stuck in my head.
So proposal. You know how Duran has his intro?
The proposal. Yeah.
What if Finnegan came out to the nursery rhyme?
Stop it. No? Only you would think of that.
No.
We're
workshopping it. We need to get him a badass intro if he pitches
that
well.
Yeah. I mean, because golly, that is a great intro.
Could that be one of those like... It's so like childish that it's actually creepy and it can become intimidating to haters.
No, but I appreciate you helping out.
It would be creepy. Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know if it would be intimidating to opposing.
Oh, no. Batters. Guys, here comes Finnegan. Yeah. And that song.
Yeah.
They could distort it too, so it is like out of a horror movie.
Yeah.
They'd be covering their ears so that they're not singing it at midnight when they're trying to go to sleep.
All right.
Yeah, get in their heads.
So we throw a lot out to start the show. The Riley Green conversation, the strikeouts, the stats when he's trailing in clutch situations, the lefty splits. Is there a Riley Green conversation worth having for this baseball team? We will have the Tuesday touchdown at 6:35, which is our excuse to talk
football
and the coaches poll that is out in college football. It's 97.1. All right, KG Law. I've been telling you about him. If you're injured in an auto accident, KJ Law is the place to call. That's K-A-J-Y. Lawrence KJ and his team. Lawrence is one of the few law firms in the country specializing in car, truck, and motorcycle accidents. And KJ Law has won millions because they'll fight hard for you and win big. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car, truck, or motorcycle accident, you need KJ Law. 877-KJ-CARES. Visit kjcares.com. That's K-A-J-Y, kjcares.com. .437 feet.
It was a bomb.
A towering blast from Carey Carpenter as Tigers pick up a win. Finnegan shutting the door at the end. As ticket texters have said, he'll spin again. It's for you, Heather.
I liked that.
That's splitter, baby.
Yeah. I do want to make note real quick. If you are up early, and hats off to Evan Jenkins, who doesn't have to, but he gets us on Twitch every morning at 6 a.m. We are on Twitch now. And if you want to see us, it's twitch.tv/971theticket. Cookies is donning his Christmas present.
I didn't even notice
this morning either when he walked in until I think Tom was the one that noticed it. What's up with that shirt over there?
It was a gift from a friend.
Yeah, that's my version of Tom.
I did not say it that way.
With a scowl on his face.
Did it not come across that way?
No, that just might be the default.
Yes. But he is donning his Bronner's t-shirt. And I'm curious. Is there any plans between now and this Christmas?
Not actively, no.
Why not?
You'll go this year, right?
I don't want to promise something that I don't know
what
happened.
It's not that far away.
It's not.
No. You're a dink. You got nothing else to do.
I mean, point there. But I can choose to fill my day with so many other things.
You can do that instead of making candles.
Yeah, that would be a good, you know.
Here's my take on the shirt.
One's like a 20-minute time commitment. But I do believe
it's within the range of the golf cart.
I could plug it in and see. I think it'll get there. And back, though? That's the question.
Yeah,
John.
Can you go there and back? I think you could go there and back.
Sure.
Set the cruise, you'll use less energy, right?
I wonder why the shirt's not red or green.
Ask John. He bought it.
It's blue and white. That's not Christmas colors.
No, it's Lions colors. I'm a big fan of blue. I don't know if this is breaking news to you, but I didn't even know when I picked it out. I didn't look to see if there was another option. I'm sure there is.
Wait, you didn't even peruse? You just took the first shirt off the rack?
No. I wanted to make sure that Bronner's was as big as possible.
Oh, I mean, it's pretty prominent here.
Oh, yeah, it's about to.
And you know what I just realized? It's the perfect Christmas Day shirt this year.
You're welcome.
Because of the Lions. We'll have to get Heather some Lions gear for Christmas Day.
I'd be cool. I would love some Lions pajamas. That would be sweet. Okay. Like the whole family could get some.
You know, I mean,
I'm cool with that.
Just because I love Bronner's so much, I'm going to give them this idea if anybody up there is listening. There should be a Bronner's Lions co-branded shirt.
Be smart.
Since they are playing on Christmas. I know you don't have to support it, Heather, but it might be a nice little... you know, Christmas morning present for Colin, the Lions fan in your life.
It could be. And I'm all for that gift. Yeah. That's fine. The gift is great.
And I know last year, and like for years now, Lions jerseys and Lions gear is like perfect Christmas fodder for people. It's like, if you don't know what to get somebody, get them something Lions.
Yeah, well, if you want the game day hat, you can mortgage your Christmas now.
You still upset about this?
I am. It drove me nuts when I saw the news story.
The new era hat?
Yeah, we'll have it in the news.
Yeah.
Just a little teaser for Heather.
All right, fine. Couple ticket texts. We open the show talking Tigers. I said, do we need to have a Riley Green conversation? I've kind of overlooked some of the flaws, but a ticket texter really got me digging deeper. Text says, most of his strikeouts are ugly. It's wastes of an at-bat. You're not putting the ball in play, giving yourself a chance.
Well, you're not giving yourself a chance, but if there's runners on base, you're not moving them forward at all. There's no, hey, runner on second base and, you know, a fly out to right field. This is an aggressive base running team. There are some guys that can tag from second and go to third on a long fly ball to right field. There's none of that. There's just no opportunity to move guys forward or sack fly.
He leads all of baseball in strikeouts, and he's pacing three or four shy of the all-time single season strikeout mark. Now, the argument has been, but the dude mashes in the other 60% of his at-bats, right? He'll really do damage. Well, he's in a slump since early July. Yeah. He doesn't do really any damage when the team's trailing or in leveraged situations.
Right. That's why.
And he doesn't hit lefties to the point where we've even asked, like, hey, Karp's more productive against lefties. Are they platooning the wrong guy?
Well, and that's why I brought up yesterday when you said, well, he's their best batter. And I thought, hold on a second here, Gleyber Torres, and I don't know what his stats are. I didn't do deep dive into when runners are in scoring position or it's, you know, they're trailing, whatever. But he was most notably the guy that was able to help them come out of that 12 of 13 skid.
Tex says, since Karp's return from injury, they've won every game he's in the starting lineup and lost the ones he's not. He should be in every game. Let Green sit for a few days. Guys, Karp's homer, and the next hitter is Green. All of a sudden, he looks confident. Karp is the heart of this team. I'm not interested in extending Riley Green, reads an unnamed ticket texter. Between running like the Tin Man and his absurd strikeout rate, I'm out. He's essentially Cody Bellinger with a sweet mustache, signed Will.
So I was looking at some numbers with the strikeouts and how he compares to other power hitters that are have high strikeouts. So Otani's got 138. Schwarber's 132. And Raleigh is 130. Problem is, he doesn't have the homers that match them.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why his WAR is like half of what the other players' WARs I just mentioned. Now, I just said three elite players. I think we all know, if you cut to the chase here, and that's why the Bellinger thing's kind of interesting, but his swing is not the way you're supposed to swing the bat. He doesn't swing the bat like those other guys I just mentioned.
He's, right, it doesn't stay in the zone long enough.
No, and I don't know why it's come to this with him. I don't understand why he's changed the kind of player he wants to be, but I'm just going to say right now, he's never going to have success long-term if he keeps his swing like this. It's not.
No, I mean, we could, you know, fully nerd out, and I wouldn't even know where to look for these stats, but if he is facing taller pitchers that have a release that's high and that ball doesn't stay in the zone long, like that's where he runs into issues because his bat, the path of it doesn't stay in the zone long enough. So if you don't match up, this is why you get a lot of strikeouts.
I mean, I'll relate it to Little League this year. We had a kid on our team that struggled like heck because he had a golf swing, but he could hit one of the better pitchers in the league because his pitches were low in the strike zone.
Yeah.
That's what you're just talking. You go high cheese is going to get Riley Green every time.
Yeah.
We'll get to the coaches poll at 6:35. First, Heather with the news.
Well, when I saw this story trending all over my social media yesterday, I knew it wouldn't be long for police to find this creeper, this creepy guy who was exposing himself to young girls in Rochester Hills.
Oh, that's kind of out by you, too.
It was close to me, but also my old stomping ground. Yeah. So a lot of my friends who now have young children, right? Yeah. We're posting this guy's face left and right, hoping
that was anybody exposed to him? That you know?
No,
you didn't have any friends say, it happened.
But I know, you know, it happened. One incident happened at the Village, which is a place a lot of younger girls will go shopping and be outside. And
a lot of people in general.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, on Monday night, this 32-year-old man from Auburn Hills turned himself into the police department because his image was all over the place online. He is being held at the Oakland County Jail. They have not released his name yet because he has not been formally charged. But once those charges come, I'm sure we will all know who this nasty man is. He's accused of exposing himself once outside of a Shake Shack and then again to the same group of girls. They left that area. This was all at the Village and then went to the front of Barnes & Noble, exposed himself again. And they believe he's also connected to another incident that took place in Auburn Hills. This was back on June 29th, and we're just hearing about it. Terrifying. Well, so it could have been going on for quite a while.
You try and think like, okay, what would make someone do this? Why would you think this was a good idea? And I'm sure, like, because I did see last night on social media as well, like, okay, his picture.
Yeah.
I'm sure a weirdo like this, I don't know if he has anybody's, but if, like, dude, hey, we saw you on camera here. Is this
someone
you?
Someone has to recognize the guy.
Oh, for sure. Sure. Yeah.
That's
somebody.
Probably why he turned himself in. He probably got a bunch of text messages. Dude, I saw you on camera.
Right. I mean, there's video of him walking by. There's still images of him. And they're very, very clear. Like, I zoomed in. I was like, who is this man? Do I know him? No, thankfully, I don't.
Yes.
Don't associate myself with creepers. You brought this up, John. If you need a new Lions hat in your rotation, New Era has you covered. maybe. They just released this new NFL sideline collection on Monday. They say the hats are built for many types of weather condition, with breathable material made to withstand heat, water repellents for rain, and insulation for the cold. They'll come in a variety of styles, and they will set you back $50.
Yeah, starting at $50.
No matter which style you get, they start at $50.
That's absurd. First of all, the hat itself, not a huge fan.
Yeah, it's not getting great reviews.
No, and my taste may not be young enough, or it's not what I would wear. But anytime you look at making a purchase, you look at the price. And if I saw $50 on any hat, even if it was one that was, hey, I love this hat.
What is like a hat? I don't wear hats. What's like an average hat go for?
I mean, they go for more than I really care to spend. Like
25
bucks. Yeah. Okay. If it's going to have to be pretty special for me to spend $25 on.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
$25 is nothing now. It gets you nothing nowadays. You get like the brim of your hat for $25.
I know. And I'm trying to caution myself. Oh, a gallon of gas used to cut. Like, I'm not trying to go old man on this, but $50 for this?
Yeah, it does seem a little expensive. I don't know. I don't buy hats either. So to me, I was like, oh, $50. Okay. That wasn't that shocking to me because I never buy hats. Yeah. It's okay. I like the black one best.
Hasn't Campbell worn that?
Yeah, yeah, he wore it at the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
It looks, I don't mind. I mean, it's not like, whoa, that's a sweet hat, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
I don't like the ones with like the perforated, I'm guessing it's for the extreme heat or whatever. Yeah. I don't like the look of that, but.
Yeah.
It's okay. So there's a zoo in Denmark that is taking an unconventional approach to making sure that its animals are fed well. So they're asking the public to donate any unwanted pets. You got a pet you don't want in your house? Just bring it on over to the zoo. We'll feed it to the tigers. We'll feed it to the lions.
Rufus, I told you, stop chewing on that or
you're going to the zoo. They're not technically looking for your beloved dog or cat. They're specifically asking for animals like chickens, rabbits, and guinea pigs, but they also noted they'll accept animals as large as horses.
Yeah, well, if you got a horse in the backyard you don't want it anymore, send it to Denmark.
Jim's putting some game pressure on Roomba.
People are losing
Roomba,
their minds.
You catch this rat or you're going to the zoo.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, they're losing their minds online, all the people reading this. The zoo is saying, though, hey, we'll humanely euthanize your pet before it is consumed. So we're not just going to like...
Right. Yeah.
Well, let the animals
hunt it. We'll send you
the
video of the end of your pet's life.
Yeah.
Wow.
But a lot of people are calling it disgusting. Sad.
Yep.
Can you imagine that? Oh my gosh. The MLB Speedway Classic is being compared to the infamous Fire Festival due to logistic issues and a rain-delayed game. Plus, there were some major issues with concessions.
Oh.
They ran out.
Oh, well,
they didn't have enough food. The sight lines and also parking issues as well. So the first game between the Cincinnati Reds and Atlanta Braves was suspended basically just one inning into the game because of rain. Needed to be resumed the following day. Things at concessions got so bad they ran out of food. People are now trying to figure out how to get their money back.
Well, the whole sight line thing, okay, you're going to International Speedway, like it's huge. I don't expect there's going to be great sight lines. The coolest part of the game was watching them build the field inside the track. That was awesome.
That was the best part of the game.
Yeah, the best part of the game. Yeah, watching them build the field.
Attending or watching, not so much.
Yeah.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, Tuesday touchdown. Coaches pulls out 97.1.
Hey, what's up, Detroit? It's your girl, Heather, and I'm always looking for ways to stay on top of my game. Well, listen to this. You know how much I rely on my phone for everything. That's why I got to tell you about this insane deal from Verizon that'll help you be your best self, too. We're talking a low price on the best 5G in Detroit. Seriously, whether I'm blasting my favorite tracks on my morning commute or snagging those last-minute tickets to the hottest new flick, check this out. You can switch today and pay just $50 a month for a single line. You heard me right, $50 a month for the best 5G in Detroit when you bring your own phone on the unlimited welcome plan with autopay plus taxes and fees. That's a no-brainer. Visit your nearest Detroit Verizon store today to lock in this incredible deal. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Rankings based on RootMetrics RootScore report. report dated 2H2024. Your results may vary. Additional terms apply.
Coaches poll is out. College football is right around the corner, and it gives us a reason for a Tuesday touchdown. Some highlights. Texas, your number one team. First time number one in the preseason since 2008. Ohio State, Penn State, Georgia, Notre Dame round out the top five. More on the Big Ten. Oregon is 7, Illinois is 12, Michigan 14, Indiana is 19. The SEC with 9 of the top 25. Clemson's your highest ACC at 6. Arizona State, your highest Big 12 at 11. And Boise is the only non-power team there, 25th. Tom, you got questions?
Yes, I do. And you did mention quick. I saw Clemson got 2 first place votes. I found that interesting. All right, but Texas got the most first place votes. Are they the team to beat? And if not, who is?
Well, this is a great segue because I'm going to say it's Clemson. How about that? Because I have some questions about all the teams in the top five. With Texas, this would be the first year for Arch. It's a brand new offensive line. Centers, tackles, critical protection. Look at the quarterbacks, and then you might say Penn State's loaded, but it's Penn State. Clemson returns Klubnik. They return an offensive line. Their head coach has won 2 national titles. I'm going to put Clemson at the top.
I'm not sure they're going to be tested enough during the regular season. I know they've got a big matchup to start the season off, but I just don't think the ACC is going to prepare them for the college football playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs.
Yep.
And for all the reasons you mentioned, Cade Klubnik is a Heisman contender. So is Arch Manning. I think it's probably Texas simply because I think, much like Cade at Clemson, Arch Manning is a dual threat guy. It's hard to defend those. He's got a terrific arm, but he is unproven. I do look to their receiving core. They have been a machine at producing really good receivers. And they've got another couple of them this year. They did replace their left tackle, who was, you know, highly sought after last year in the draft, with Trevor Goosby, a redshirt sophomore. I think he's going to be one of those guys we're talking about in another year or so in the draft. So they've got plenty of talent up there. I think it's most likely Texas. I don't know that they go wire to wire, but they're probably still the team to beat.
Just quickly, again, we did this a few weeks ago about games we want to see this year. You mentioned Clemson. I am salivating at Clemson going to Chapel Hill in early October to go against Belichick. I just think it's going to be fascinating, especially if Clemson's undefeated, if they get beat LSU early. All right, let's move on. Locally, Michigan ranked 14th. Are the playoffs on the table with a freshman QB?
Yeah, I think they're on the table. I'm not necessarily projecting them as a playoff team, but look at their schedule. And that's going to be a theme throughout here. The schedule in the Big Ten. A lot of the big dogs don't play each other. They don't play Oregon. They have a tough trip to Nebraska. They have a tough trip to USC. It's that, you know, 3 time zone thing. But other than Oklahoma, once they get by them, and even if they don't get by them, who's their biggest test in the Big Ten until they get to Ohio State? So I think by default, they might be a team that finds their way in the playoffs.
I think that Oklahoma game's critical for them. Yeah. It's early for a freshman quarterback on the road. I don't think they win that game, but you're right. Find me 4 losses. It's a little harder to do.
Yeah.
I think there's questions losing some of that defensive talent up front with Graham leading the way, but Will Johnson as well. I mean, they have a lot of guys to replace on defense.
Yeah, you should listen to the In the Trenches podcast. Okay. It's that defense is going to be pretty good.
Okay.
All right, Notre Dame is ranked 5th. A lot of Fighting Irish fans in the area. Are they a legit national title contender?
They're a legit playoff team. Questions about quarterback. It's going to be, Lloyd Carr's grandson,
CJ
quarterback.
Carr.
Yeah, and I just winning a national title with a freshman's tough.
Again, I look at their schedule. It's not a schedule that's packed with anything. They're going to be in the college football playoffs, and by that time, CJ Carr should not be playing like a freshman. Jeremiah Love, their running back. If you have a young quarterback, what's the best thing to do? Just to hand it off and let Jeremiah Love do his work. That offensive line last year was a big question mark for me. I mentioned it at about this time last year. Freshman left tackle. They passed those tests. That offensive line is going to be really good. Stout defense. I think they are a national title contender.
Just thinking with both Michigan and Notre Dame there, the last two. What about a Michigan-Notre Dame 8-9 matchup?
Ooh. There you go.
Who's a team in the top 25 that you want to label as a fraud?
I'm going to label Miami as a fraud. I just don't believe Mario Cristobal can make the right calls at the right time. We've already seen the issues that he's had in critical situations. Carson Beck, their new quarterback, I'm just not buying that transferring over there. I mean, it didn't really work out well for him at Georgia in terms of this year. Was he even going to be the starter this year? So he goes down there, gets a big payday. I just don't see him as a leader of that team. And I think they're the team. What are they, at 10?
Yes.
And I think they're probably the biggest fraud I see in the top 10, but probably the top 25.
I want to throw a couple teams rapid fire at you. One is BYU. Their quarterback's gone. I don't think they're going to be ranked. That's maybe too easy. Ole Miss. Last year was set up for them. They blew it. This year they lost that entire D-line, brand new quarterback. I think they'll be good, not great. You want a spicy one? How about the number two team in the country? The Buckeyes return only six starters, sent 14 players to the NFL draft, including their entire D-line, and they're starting an unknown at quarterback with 12 career passes.
That's not coming from the blue wall. That's cookies.
All right. Who's a team that's not ranked in the poll right now that might be in the playoff mix?
Well, I think this one is sneaky. Utah. Big 12 is wide open. No, hold on. Yeah. Let me sell you on it. They host Arizona
love their
State.
Coach.
That's the thing, Winningham, and they got some good trench dudes back, some physicality up front. That's the hallmark of their program.
Did you call him Winningham?
Whittingham, but you could call him Winningham.
I thought I heard Winningham.
He's won quite a bit there at Utah. Think about it. Tough place to play. They're going to host ASU, Kansas State, Texas Tech, all projected to be heavy hitters in the Big 12. They avoid Iowa State. And their quarterback, Dampier, he's a portal guy from New Mexico, where they were fourth in the nation in total offense, gives him a spark plug to an otherwise solid program.
I've mentioned this team before, and it's one that Michigan plays in week two, Oklahoma. John Mateer is coming from Washington State. Not a lot of people probably know that much about him, but he is a dual threat quarterback, over 800 yards rushing, over 3,000 yards passing. They've beefed up that offensive line. They hit the transfer portal, especially on defense. And this is Brent Venables' make it or break it season. And their schedule, they play Texas, obviously. That's the, we're not allowed to call it the shootout, but it's the Red River rivalry. They play Ole Miss. You just mentioned they might be a fraud. At Alabama, at Tennessee, at South Carolina.
Those are all ranked teams.
Yeah, those are all ranked teams, but there's a lot of question marks about Alabama. New quarterback, same thing with Ole Miss. Tennessee, they may be the big fraud.
They could be.
And so I think Oklahoma is the team that could be that college football playoff team that's not in the 25 right now.
Really tough schedule. It's the first time they've been unranked preseason since 1999 for the Sooners.
Dare I whisper somebody?
Yeah, go for it.
Nebraska.
I was looking at him. Nah. I was looking at him.
Instead of Illinois. Just saying. I got a bad look from John. He hates him because he had to share a championship with him.
Yeah. No, that's not it. I just don't.
They're going to play you guys tough this year.
I'm sure they will.
Are there too many teams from the Big Ten and the SEC?
No. Was there 9 from the SEC and 6 from the Big Ten? 15 of the top 25 are from the Power 2. I think it's just the path this top 25 college football is going. It's the Power 2.
I think it's a little ridiculous to have 9 SEC teams, seeing as their conference hasn't even played in the national title the last 2 years, let alone won it. That's too many teams. I think we've watched as the talent sprint spread out with NIL. And leave a couple of those teams out. Why do I need Texas A&M in there?
Gearing up for the season. Here you go. So I got that look.
Yeah.
All right. Last year, 4 teams from the Big Ten made the college football playoff. This year, will 4 make it? And how many or which teams will make it from the Big Ten?
I think 5 make it.
Ooh.
And I say that with Illinois. I know you said it was possibly Nebraska, not Illinois. Luke Altmyer, second year quarterback, and their toughest game, they host Ohio State. The rest of the time, they should run the table. Ohio State, I think while you think they might be the biggest fraud, I still think that they're a college football playoff team.
Yes.
Penn State, obviously. Oregon, their toughest game is the whiteout at Penn State. My daughter's going to that game. I'm excited for her.
That's awesome.
And I do think Michigan could be that 15.
I would go 4, and Michigan's the one on the fringe, and I just don't know with a freshman quarterback.
Yeah. A lot of question marks.
Such an unknown. Finally, week one, again, has awesome games. We've got Texas, Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and Notre Dame versus Miami. If you could attend one of these games, which one would you pick?
Oh, to me, it's the Battle of Death Valley. It's the night game, Clemson, LSU. That's the game to go to. Two high-powered offenses, two veteran quarterbacks slinging it. That's the game.
You know, I was thinking about this from a fan's perspective. Like, which stadium would I want to go to? Because I haven't been to Clemson Stadium. Mm-hmm. I haven't been to Miami. I don't really care to go to Miami, but I this is the first time in the history of college football, number one, number two in the preseason poll has faced off. I want to see Texas at Ohio State. I think that's going to be, it's going to determine a lot for the college football season. It's going to set the tone for the college football season. I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and with Arch Manning, I mean, the potential for him to kind of put on a show and kind of become the face of college football
hammer
for the entire
season. Hammer
the
Buckeyes week one would be awesome.
And that is your Tuesday touchdown, college football. Right around the corner, 97.1.
Value-driven banking begins with First Merchants Bank. When I have questions about my finances, I turn to my bank, and that is First Merchants Bank. I know that their attentive local bankers are 100% interested in listening to my situation and in helping me find the answers that I need. First Merchants doesn't provide cookie-cutter solutions or check-off boxes when it comes to financial advice. They're going to take the time to get to learn about my life and my personal financial goals and work with me to build a plan that fits my situation. A lot of I, a lot of my, a lot of me in there. And that's what I love about them. That's because First Merchants Bank really cares. They see me as a person, not just as a number, and they're going to do all they can to help their customers and communities succeed. And you can count on that in terms of the community, because First Merchants Bank is staffed by local bankers who know and are passionate about the needs of their local community, because it's theirs as well, and we all have to work together to help it continue to prosper. To get started on your personalized financial solution today, all you have to do is visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, member FDIC.
Big time blast for the Tigers. They beat the Twins. Play again tonight.
Glad to see Dingler get back into that home run trot.
Mm-hmm. And I don't care who it's against. Go on a run in the month of August. Yeah. Beat up a bunch of teams. Get a nice little cushion.
Gain some. I think August is that month where this is a team that should just really build up the confidence. Beating up on. And I don't care if it's the White Sox. I don't care if it's the Twins. Just to build up a little bit of that confidence so you go into September with a full head of steam.
Play the Angels, the A's, the Royals, beat up on them. Have that double-digit lead for September.
Yeah.
Make sure you get one of those top two spots in the American League to avoid playing in that opening round of the postseason. This is the month to really create that advantage.
Yeah, put the pressure on the Mariners. Put the pressure on the Astros. Put the pressure on the other teams to try and keep pace and catch you.
Some ticket texts. We just went through the coaches poll, and this text says, Costa's take on Clemson is not surprising. Lack of ball knowledge. The ACC is like playing in the CAAC in the Lansing area.
Yeah. It's not a great conference.
Right, but let's focus on the team and not the conference. The team brings back the third most starters in the country. In an era without continuity in college football, Clemson is one of the very few teams that can say eight on offense, eight on defense. And are they bad? No, they were a playoff team a year ago. After a slow start, they rattle off 10 wins. They return a multi-year starter at quarterback, pass catchers, O-line, the apparatus, and a coach who's won two national titles. No active coach has won more than Dabo Sweeney. So, and I think they're going to be in the hunt at the very end, in large part because of the ACC, but that's part of deciding who's going to win it all is you got to be there.
But what do those wins mean? I mean, they could be 11-1.
What if they beat LSU week one?
Okay, well, it'll definitely open some eyes, sure.
I don't know what the spread is right now, but I like them at home to win that game.
And then we'll have to see what does LSU with Brian Kelly do? Are they that team that is, you know, uber talented with a returning quarterback, a guy that's also up for the Heisman Trophy, but they're an 8-4 team. They're just a team that always seems to underperform.
And maybe, I know you're higher on LSU than that this season, but we'd have to see how their resume stacks up at the end of the season. But go through these teams at the top. Texas, Arch Manning.
Right.
I'm excited, but the O-line's being rebuilt. The receiver room is unknown. Sark kind of has this moniker of, can he get over the hump? So I think respectfully, they're one of the best teams on paper, but there's questions. Ohio State, quarterback's thrown 12 passes, 14 dudes to the league, entire D-line's gone. Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Downs may be the two best players in the country, but that doesn't make them the best team. Penn State, number three. Need I say more? Yeah. Number four is Georgia. A loaded roster, quarterback question, right? Notre Dame, loaded roster. You went through their run game, quarterback question. Now Clemson's six, Oregon seven. Their quarterback situation is, well, it's Dante Moore from our area. He had a choppy first year at UCLA, sat last year. And I think Oregon's got some sizzle to them.
Sure. And I go through the schedule again because the big dogs aren't playing each other. They do travel to Happy Valley. I just mentioned that. It's going to be the whiteout for Penn State. But other than that, you look at their schedule and their non-conference is Montana State, Oklahoma State, Oregon State. I don't think any of those strike fear into any Oregon Ducks. And their Big Ten conference, Northwestern, Indiana, Rutgers, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, USC, Washington.
I'm intrigued by Oregon. They brought in Hughes, the tailback from Tulane. They have this dynamic freshman Moore at receiver to go with quarterback, and Evan Stewart still back, the receiver that they got in the portal the year before. Bama, I don't know who the quarterback is. LSU, there's a Brian Kelly question. Miami, you don't like, is a fraud at 10. Like, the case for Clemson is not as flimsy as you don't know ball. I mean, pay attention. Returning production, and who else do you like?
It all comes down to Klubnik. Okay, yeah. They are the only program that's not a Big Ten or SEC team that's won in the playoff era, championships.
Yeah.
They got the coach, they're the program, but they had two quarterbacks that were elite quarterbacks in Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence that were able to catapult them. So it comes down to Klubnik.
And he's a guy in the Heisman discussion to start the season.
You know, they're in a position where they should get a bye for sure.
Right, so okay? If you're telling me you got a bye.
So that's three you got to win. How many times, I don't know if they can beat, win three games in a playoff against all Big Ten and SEC teams. It's going to come down to the draw. Look at Notre Dame got to the national title game last year because of the draw.
You're right.
And I do. Okay, Dabo Swinney, I think he is a good coach. He's obviously won a couple of national titles. There's no question about that. But will he know enough about his team at that point? Strengths, weaknesses, because they won't have been tested. LSU, they come out of the gates. They might be tested in that game. They probably will be. But then after that, they've got an ACC schedule where they play Georgia Tech, Syracuse, North Carolina, Boston College, Duke, Florida State. I mean,
I would just point out
Furman, not even an ACC schedule, but that's
the Paladins, baby. Yeah. I just point out to Tom's point, they've won national titles existing in the ACC before. That's not a disqualifier because
exactly.
They play in the ACC.
But the two times they did it, they had the quarterback. So it's all Klubnik. It is.
Hold on. They had the quarterback, but they had the outside weapons too.
Correct.
That's one thing that's been limiting from Clemson the last few years.
You're right.
Where are the outside weapons? Where's Justin Ross? Where's DeAndre Hopkins? Where's Sammy Watkins? Where's T. Higgins?
And they like the group of receivers that are back.
He happens to be in Cincinnati.
Thank you for spotting that. The one text caught something you said, John.
Oh.
Wait a second. Did John say he wanted Texas to beat Ohio State week one? I thought you always root for them to be undefeated when they play Michigan.
Well, I do, but I know you caught me on that one. I don't know. That one that might just be my inner disdain for Ohio State.
If you were at that game, which was the question, you would not be rooting for the Buckeyes at the Horseshoe.
Oh no.
Like, cause the question was, which game would you go to? You'd have to root for Texas. I couldn't see you know, they get a first down and you're given a little.
Yeah. It's more of when you're starting to pick, like, okay, I'm a closet Notre Dame fan this year because of CJ Carr.
Yeah.
And I'll bang that drum all season long. I hope he is as good as possible and that Notre Dame is competing for a national title. For him and for his family. I look at Arch Manning, and I know there's a lot of people that say, "Oh, it's just another Manning," and they want to hate greatness. And I don't know if he's going to be great, but the family has been.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that kid has done. He has handled every question. He has stayed even though he wasn't going to be the starter last year. Like, there's just a lot to like about him. So it does somewhat come down for me to some of the individuals that are playing in this game.
I'm so happy we're talking college football. This is wonderful. I know we still have several weeks until this actually really gets going, but
it feels close.
Yeah, I'm happy you guys are talking about college football without saying what's wrong with college football. It's a positive way to look at it. Yes. So thank you.
Yes.
All good.
Mm-hmm.
We got the two Grand Slam coming up at 7:25. A conversation about the NFC North will follow. It's 97.1.